other friend, one whom I can depend. Oh, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. Lord, I need the every hour while I'm through this pilgrim land. Lord, protect me by thy saving hand. Oh, hear my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, look down on me. Oh, when I kneel in prayer, Lord, I know I'll meet you there. Precious Jesus, oh, shake somebody's hand while we sing it again. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand.
You tonight. Well, feels like I'm in West Palm Beach, Sister Cobb. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's just stand for this one as well. It's a fast one, so you'll be standing up again in a minute if I sit you down. So, number 311. Oh, there's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved and merciful soon glory share. Where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, singing everybody. Oh, we'll be happy over there. Well, we will shout. Gonna sing our God's praises, everybody. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, we'll be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, sing it, everybody. Oh, we'll be happy over there. Well, we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Let's sing it again. Oh, sing it, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we will hear nobody pray, and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And all the people will be singing, glory, glory to the Lamb. Oh, everybody will be happy over there. Oh, singing it, hallelujah. Oh, we'll be happy. Oh, we will shout, gonna sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. Oh, we will praise his name forever as we look upon his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Oh, singing everybody. We'll be happy over there. You know, Brother Branham said that death doesn't change a man. It just changes his dwelling place. We've got a lot of sad message people around here. They can't be happy with themselves, let alone anybody else. But I'm thankful for a group of people that's happy in what we found. It's given us joy. It's given us freedom. It's given us liberty. Amen. You're not bound anymore, Johnny Crow. We've got a reason to be happy tonight. If you're not happy tonight and you died, you wouldn't be happy over there, so you probably wouldn't be there. But everybody's going to be happy over there. Amen. Let's sing it again. Oh, everybody will be happy. Oh, we'll be happy over there. Well, we will shout, gonna sing our God's praise. Everybody will be happy over there. One more time together. We'll sing it, everybody. Oh, Lord, we'll be happy over there. Friends, we will shout. We're going to sing our God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Amen. God bless you tonight. Well, the real singers haven't even got up here yet, so you can imagine what type of a service we're in for. Amen. God bless you tonight. We got Brother Jack and his family with us tonight all the way from West Palm Beach, so wonderful to have them fellowshipping with us. Brother Jack came about 3 years ago, a little less than 3 years ago, I guess, or is it a little more than 3 years ago now? No, I guess a little less than 3 years ago he came and was our first guest speaker when we were still in the home. And we had got 36 new chairs, which is some of these in here, I don't know which ones, for the special meetings. And it was our first special meetings. He came to a house service with about, I guess we had about 20 people at those services, but God really blessed. And Sister Cobb came in, I hope she doesn't mind me telling it tonight, but she came in and saw the church and she cried because just to see how far we've come. What a mighty God Jesus is. Amen. Amen. Only by his grace are we here tonight, any of us, so... Amen. Praise the Lord. And then he came and preached our dedication services. So it's good to have them back with us again tonight in service and tomorrow morning as well. Amen. I don't know what the Lord has in store for us tonight and tomorrow, but I know that it must be something special because Satan has fought these meetings probably harder than any other meetings we've ever had. And just starting off with Brother Jack's schedule and my schedule, and we were going to have an outreach program this weekend at Harvest Homecoming and try to get a booth and do some witnessing and things, and that just didn't work out. And then the dates that we had Brother Jack scheduled, him and I both with our work, we couldn't get it to work out, and so just a quick in and out trip. And then Thursday, I wasn't even sure if I was going to be able to make it to the services. I was the sickest I've been in about 5 years Thursday night, but the Lord helped me all day Friday and today, feeling much better. No fever since Thursday night late, so praise the Lord for that. But God's good, and I don't know what he has for us, but I know he's got something good for us, or the devil wouldn't be fighting like this. I'm asking Sister Burrs if she'd come tonight and just give us a special. How many appreciate Sister Burrs? Amen. Sister Burrs has wrote quite a few songs that we've been blessed by, and she's also her sister who just passed away recently wrote a lot of songs as well. The one we sing, It's Already Done, she wrote that. So we appreciate their family and the gifts that God has given them. Amen.
God bless you. It's really good to be back out this way.
Yes.
Like what Brother Nathan was saying, the enemy really, really was fighting. And been fighting me in my body all week. I very rarely get a cold, but I had one really hit me, a whopper this time. Not quite over it, but I'm here. Give the Lord my best.
Just a closer walk with the Lord. Granted, Jesus is not me. Daily walking close to me. Oh, let it.
Thank you, Jesus.
that your desire tonight? Let's just lift our hands to Him.
Lord, cast me not away from my presence. Oh, Lord, take not Thy Holy Spirit from me and restore unto me all the joy of Thy salvation. Cast me not away from Thy presence.
Restore unto me all the joy. Oh Lord, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, restore unto me all the joy of Thy salvation, and renew the right spirit. Renew the right spirit, say, and renew the right spirit within me. Lord, I mean it, that's my desire tonight. Renew the right spirit and renew the right spirit within me. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, it is truly a blessing for us to be here tonight, amen, in fellowship here at in New Albany. Amen. We thank the Lord for just making a way for us to come back and just bring greetings on behalf of my precious wife who's here with me tonight, Sister Erica. My mother, who you heard from a little earlier, Sister Burrs, and my mother-in-law, Sister Cobb. We are all happy to be here in our little church back home, Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. My daughters, amen, they send their regards, and amen, and we just love you all. Those of you all that know me, I've been here a couple times. You know, I got precious friends in this area. And Brother Nathan being one of them, true friend, and Brother Trevor, amen, being another. Brother Steve, amen, appreciate him as well. And I'm just grateful for the friendships that God has given me over the years, and just really appreciate these brothers. So tonight we just want to get out of the way and just let God just have His way. And, you know, I have a couple songs that I just want to share, amen, with you, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to your heart. This first song is titled 10,000 Reasons. Amen. 10,000 Reasons. Let's try. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name.
the sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name is great and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. And sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship Your holy name. Listen, and on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Help me say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never, sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. Come on, sing it again. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship Your holy name. I worship Your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And I don't know about you. I'm sure you have the same or similar trials that I have. But no matter what it is, if our trials, everybody got some type of trial. I tell you that much. But when we go through trials, amen, we have to get to a spot where we bless God from the inside. Amen. From the depths of our soul, that we give Him the praise, we give Him the honor, we give Him the glory. Brother Branham preached the message, be certain of God. When we can't feel Him, when we can't see Him, when we don't understand, we still give Him praise. We still give Him honor. Amen. We know He's always there. Praise the Lord. Let's. I want to try this, this other song here. Amen. Tonight. I've crossed over 40. So I have to have words to my songs. you all bear with me, amen, tonight. But thank you, Jesus. This particular song, amen, it says, it's a declaration that no matter what I'm going through, my God is greater than my problem. He's greater than my trial. He's greater than my test. And this song just says, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. It says, our God is healer. He's awesome in power. He's our God. Amen. I thank God for my God.
Ooh, what are You turned into wine? Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Oh, into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, I want to say it again. I said, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, oh, what are you turning to wine? You open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Oh, it's into the darkness you shine. And it's out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. I say there's no one like you. Oh, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God, yes, our God. Help me say it now. Say, our God is greater and our God is stronger. Hey, God, you are higher than any. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Say, our God, hallelujah, our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Higher than any. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Come on, sing it one more time. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Higher than any. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God, hallelujah, our God. Oh, and if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then what could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? What could stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is greater. Our God is, oh God, you are higher. Our God is healer, awesome in power. He's our God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Sing it again. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God. Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise tonight. Come on, worship him. Declare that your God is greater. Your God is stronger. Your God is also in power tonight. There's no God like your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Let me just share a quick testimony with you. Back at home, my father had been going through a serious illness. Roughly a little over a year ago, I would say, he was diagnosed with having cancer in his throat. And the doctors did not tell us at the time that they diagnosed him that it was actually stage 4 cancer. But my mom and dad began to do some research on the internet about, you know, maybe some different things that they could do to combat this. And there was surgery that the doctor offered. And when they looked, amen, at the results of the surgery and how some of the people were after the surgery was done, they decided, so we're not going to go with the surgery. And so they began to just kind of look at natural means and a way that they could try to attack this. And you know, just through prayer and just kind of changing his diet and everything like that, we saw a mighty, mighty miracle happen in Dad's life. Amen. I know your church was praying for my father. And, you know, roughly I'm going to say, what time of year was it? Was it early this year? Early this year, Dad went to the hospital. And after he'd gone, the last of May, after Dad had been kind of going through some, you know, some of the, just using the hyperbaric chamber and, you know, just some different things that they found on the internet to try to combat this, Dad got sick and had to go to the hospital. While he was there, he went in and the doctor said, you know, you should have had this taken out a while ago. It's worse now than it's ever been. But they said, no, we've seen the charts. It looked like it's getting better. And they said, no, it's not getting better. You know, I mean, it's getting worse than it's ever been. And you should have took care of this a long time ago. They said, no, go look at the charts because the charts say that it's getting better. So they were very adamant. Finally, the doctor went and looked at the charts, and he came back the next day, and he closed the door to the room and says, I need to understand what you all are doing to combat this, because whatever you're doing is working. He says it's working, and I want to encourage you to continue to do whatever it is that you're doing. And, you know, and as they just kind of stood in faith, my dad said, you know what, I'm going to have, you know, there's a test that he took a little over a year ago, and the doctor said if the results on the test show, amen, anything above 3, anywhere from 0 to 3 on the test was okay, but if it was above 3, you have a problem. So he took the test, it showed 23, so we knew that he had a problem. Well, he went back, he said, you know what, since I'm back in the hospital a year later, I'm going to have that test done again. And he went and had the test done, and this time he had the test results, and it showed 0.6. It went from 23 all the way down to 0.6. So we're here to declare tonight that our God is a healer.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? What could stand against? Oh, what could stand against? Not even cancer. What could stand against? Hallelujah. What could stand against? Say, what could stand against? Our God is greater. Say, our God is greater. And our God is strong. God, you are higher than it. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Say, our God, our God. Come on. Our God is greater. Yeah, our God is strong. God, you are higher. Our God is healer. Say, our God is awesome in power. Our God, our God, our God.
Come on and give him praise tonight. Somebody clap your hands and worship him tonight. Our God is greater. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, you are God. You're greater than all of our problems. You're greater than all of our struggles. No matter what it is that we're facing tonight, God, you are greater. And if we could ever get the revelation in our hearts that you live on the inside of us. And the Bible tells us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Hallelujah! We serve a great God. There's no God like our God. Lord, it's so good to know that you're on our side. So good to know we can overcome anything that we're facing. Lord, I pray tonight as we prepare to approach the Word of God that you would encourage our hearts and speak to our spirits, that you would just get all the glory and all the honor out of everything that would happen in this place tonight. Thank you for all the believers that have gathered together. Lord, for the fellowship around the Word of God tonight. May we leave strengthened and encouraged by your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Can we give them one more hand clap of praise tonight? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's get our Bibles while you're standing. Amen. Oh, my, 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 my. We thank you for your prayers and praying for my dad. God answered prayer. And actually, dad had been taken, while he was going through this, they'd asked, he'd taken a lot of time off. How long was he off his job? Okay, off for 3 months there on his job. And just this week, he went back to work. So God has really touched his body, and we thank God, for the miracle, amen, in his life. And even with natural means, I was one of the things that I sometimes you wonder about that. But I saw in scripture where Isaiah told Hezekiah, go take a lump of figs and lay it on his boils, and that was the thing that was going to cure him. That was a natural cure. All right. Amen. And he got it from a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So anytime we find things in scripture, it just should settle our spirits. Amen. It did that for me. So we thank God. God is still the healer.
Amen.
Amen. He's still the healer. I'm turning to the book of Joshua chapter 15. If you would just turn with me tonight. And we will read from Joshua 15. And I'm going to start at verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. It says this, says, "And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father Phil, and she lighted off her ass. And Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. I would just ask you to keep your marker or something on that scripture. We will return to it. Amen. Towards the somewhere in the sermon, we'll go back to it and we will just begin to talk a little bit more about that. I want to use for a title tonight, amen, who will take the book?
All right.
And man, who will take the book? Brother Branham tells us in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He says he is the principal thing of the entire Bible. When he's talking about the principal theme, he's talking about Jesus Christ. He says he is the principal theme of the entire Bible. If you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse of it, go back and read it again. See, if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then you read it again because you've missed something. And tonight, as we go through this sermon, I believe it's my responsibility to help you to see Christ in what we just read. Amen. He says, read it again because you missed something. The Bible is Christ. He is the Word. When you read in the beginning God created, there is Christ. Amen. And I love that. You know, when you go back and just even look at the book of Genesis and it says that God said, let there be light. Now, you know, I've always kind of wondered about that. I guess when I was younger, I always thought that maybe that was the sunlight. But when you really read the book of Genesis, you'll see that the sun did not come into existence till the fourth day. So that let there be light, amen, was the light of Christ. Right? Amen. And that it's only the light of Christ that can come into a dark situation and actually transform it. Right? It's the light of Christ that came into our hearts when we were dark in sin and transformed us. So that first let there be light was the light of Christ, the logos that went out of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Brother Branham goes on to say, he is the Word. When you read in the beginning God created, there is Christ. See, from that to the amen in Revelations is every word testifying of Jesus Christ. Amen. So tonight we're going to go on a journey as we go through the book of Joshua, and we're going to point out Jesus Christ. Now I want to just kind of bring something here. You know, the prophet, amen, had when he was preaching a particular message there, he was told, and what happened is that before he came to the pulpit, he brought a message to the church, and he was told by an angel to pick up his pen and begin to write. Amen. So he picked up the pen, he began to write, and you know, and these are experiences that Brother Branham had. Church, I'm one that believes that they weren't just experiences, but these were biblical or scriptural experiences. Amen. When the prophet was told to pick up his pen and write a message, that message was for the church. It was for us. Amen. But you know, that wasn't the first time that a prophet had been told to pick up their pen and write. If you look in the book of Isaiah, amen, he was also told to pick up his pen and write in Isaiah chapter 8. So that was a scriptural experience that Brother Branham was experiencing, and he picked up his pen and began to write. And that message to me is very important because this is what the angel is saying about us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm not going to be too concerned about what my friends say about me. I'm not going to be too concerned about what my family says about me. But I'm going to be more concerned about what God says about me. Amen. So I want to just kind of pick up something here, you know, because as we kind of go through the book of Joshua, there's all kind of types. We're going to see Christ in this tonight. But I want to just kind of just take a brief journey through some things here. Look at this. Brother Branham makes this comment, Pergamene Church Age. This is the angel telling him to pick up his pen and write. And these are some of the things that he said. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. John 5:19, this harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He shows her his word of life. She receives it. She never doubts it. Oh, my God. Amen. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has, I love that, not she's going to get, but she already has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass like a seed that is planted in water. It comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Right. I'm going on. It says, those in the bride do only his will. Amen. No one can make them do otherwise. Right. They have, thus saith the Lord. Right.
Amen. Or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through the bride. She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Now, this is very important, this next statement that the prophet makes. And again, I want to reiterate that it's the angel that is telling Brother Branham to write these things down. So this is not Brother Branham's thoughts. These are God's thoughts. Amen. And Brother Branham was just the scribe that wrote this particular message. Right? He's just the scribe that's writing this down, and he wrote it down to give it to you. Oh, my God. Now, look at this. This next part, he says, now let us stand like Joshua and Caleb. Our promised land is coming in sight, even as theirs did. Now, Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. Now, I want to make that clear. The angel said that Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. So the angel is speaking about an end time leader, right? And this end time leader is typed out in Joshua. His ministry is typed out in what we read in the book of Joshua. Oh, my God. That's what the angel said, all right? He says Joshua means Jehovah Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. And I'm so glad that we don't have tonight. We're very convinced that we can read between the lines. Even though the angel did not call his name, right, we know who the end time leader was. Amen. It was William Marion Branham. Amen. Amen. But I need you to understand who you are, because the angel said something else here. He says Joshua, amen, means Jehovah's Savior, and he represents the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul came as the original leader. Caleb represents those that stayed true with Joshua. Oh, my God. Amen. So we got some Josh. We had a Joshua to stay. Now we got some Caleb that are standing true, staying with this word. Amen. Remember, amen, even back in the Old Testament, it was 2 against 10. All right. They were in the minority, right? Amen. It was a lot more going against them than that was standing with them. Right. But they didn't care if they were standing 2 against 10. They knew that God was greater, amen, that God was stronger, and that God was standing with them. Amen. If God made the promise, God could keep his promise. Amen. I love this. Caleb represents those that stayed true with Joshua. And I tell you what, because Caleb stood, amen, with Joshua, Caleb got to a spot, amen, when they got into the promised land. Caleb come to a territory there, and he saw Mount Hebron there, and he says, look, okay, thank God for all the land that everybody else got, but now this is mine. Amen. He said, now give me this mountain. Right. Amen. And I believe there's times when we can lay claims on the promises that God made us. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I rejoice with everybody else when they get their promises fulfilled, but I think I'm going to rejoice greater when my promises are fulfilled. Oh, my. Look at it. It says Caleb represents those that stayed true with Joshua. Now, just stay with me. I'm going to go into a few things here tonight, but I believe, amen, we'll all be blessed. This is the angel was talking about you. You are the Caleb that stays true with Joshua. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, God has started Israel as a virgin with his word. But they wanted something different. And that's going to be key for us tomorrow. But I have to set it up tonight. But see, remember, God had started Israel as a virgin with his word. But they wanted something different. Come on now.
Amen.
I can't go into tomorrow's message. But they wanted, and notice the angel is saying this. The angel said they wanted something different. They began to desire something else. They weren't just satisfied with the message. They wanted something else. Oh, hallelujah. Look, it says, but they wanted something different. So did the last day church. Notice how God did not move Israel or let her go into the promised land until it was his own appointed time. Now, the people might have put pressure on Joshua, the leader, and said, the land is ours. Let's go and take it. Joshua, you are all through. You must have lost your commission. You don't have the power you used to have. You used to hear from God and know the will of God and act quickly. Something is wrong with you. But Joshua was a God-sent prophet, and he knew the promises of God, so he waited for them. He waited for a clear-cut decision from God, and when the time came to move, God placed the full leadership in Joshua's hands because he had stayed with the word. God could trust Joshua, but not the others. So it will repeat in this end day. The same problem, the same pressures. That's what the angel said before it even started. The angel had already called it out.
Amen.
But I thank God we got some Calebs.
Amen.
That stand true.
Amen.
With Joshua.
Amen.
Now, since the angel made the comment that Joshua meant Jehovah's Savior and he represented the end time leader that will come to the church, even as Paul, and I believe tonight that I'm standing amongst believers that know the end time leader was William Marion Branham.
Amen.
Despite what other people are saying. Amen. The end time leader was William Marion Branham.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's what we're standing on.
Amen.
And we're going to stay with that.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, church. Amen. Glory to God, glory to God. There's a lot of nonsense going around, just absolute nonsense. Amen. Thank God for grace.
Amen.
We forgot grace covers mistakes.
Amen.
I mean, you know, there's a, you know, we look at, you know, you got a lot of things. Let me just use Abraham for an example. Abraham, while he was down there, you know, God, he was never supposed to leave the land in the first place, but he went on down and left the land and got down there with Abimelech, and, you know, and when he got in there, you know, here, the man say he was praying for a wife, and here comes Sarah walking by, and says, oh, my, she's the answer to my prayer, you know, and Abraham says, this is my sister, yeah, she's my sister, and he say, oh, my, thank God, your sister, you know, can I, you know, worked out whatever arrangement, and here Abraham giving his wife to this man. Shame, you know. But he goes through this process, and then God has to warn that king at night. Said, don't you touch that man's wife. He told me it was his sister, God. You know the integrity of my heart, right? And now what would he say now? What the king would have called Abraham, he would have called him a liar. If he said that's his sister, but no, he didn't tell me that it was his wife. That man's a liar. Well, you know what God thought of Abraham?
Amen.
He didn't think he was a liar. He says, don't touch that man's wife. He is my prophet.
Amen.
That's what God said. So we're not going to depend on what men say. We're going to depend on what God says.
Amen.
If God says it's his prophet, then it's his prophet.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Come on, church.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, you know, you'll find it all through the scripture if you just pick up your Bible and read, right? Amen. And the angel already said these things were going to happen, but be like Caleb. Stay with Joshua.
Amen.
All right. Come on now. Glory to God. Let me just bring a few things in here because Brother Branham made a comment, many comments as far as the types for Joshua. In one place, you know, he said Joshua was a type of the signs and wonders. Another place he said Joshua was a type of the Holy Ghost. Another he said Joshua was a type of Jesus. Amen, Jehovah Savior, and you know, and when I looked at that, you know, just Joshua being a type of Jesus, I noticed how Joshua had given grace to a harlot by the name of Rahab.
Right.
Come on now, she was full of mistakes.
Right.
Amen, but she happened to be in the right place at the right time,
right.
And she received grace because she entertained the spies, and when they come into her house, she said, "Look, we already know that God has given you all the land, and you know, I don't want to die with the rest of these guys." I don't want to go down the way that they're going down. We already know God has given you the land. What can I do? What token can I have that will bring me under protection and bring my family under protection? They said, take this scarlet thread and just leave it hanging out of the window. So now look, if you leave the thread in the window, then anybody that you get inside the house, they'll be protected when we come. And I like to say this, church, look, you can't be on the outside of the house if you want protection. You can't be outside of the blood if you want protection. You have to be on the inside if you want protection. So Rahab went and told her nephew and her niece and her brothers and sisters and everybody else that she could tell, if you want protection when the children of Israel come, you better get inside the house. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We ought to be telling our family to get in the house. What is the house today? Christ. Get into Christ. look at this. She received, amen, grace, and Jesus also gave a woman who was caught in the act of adultery grace when he saw her too. So it was a perfect type. Amen. Joshua was a type of Jesus. And I just love that story, you know, how Jesus just began to write in the sand when this woman was caught in adultery. And they said, you know, look, we got her. And, you know, the Bible tells us, the word tells us to cast stones at her. You don't kill her. But Jesus just begins to write in the sand. Now, I don't know what he wrote, and it doesn't matter to me. But I do know this much, that that lady was ready to die. But when Jesus made the comment, say, he that's without sin, let him cast the first stone, all those men begin to walk away. Now, this one thing that Jesus knew, that the lady could not be committing adultery by herself. So if you're going to bring her because you caught her in the act, then where is the other guilty party? If you can't produce the other guilty party, she's getting grace. And that's exactly what she received. Thank God for grace. Amen. Joshua was a type of Jesus, which meant Jehovah's Savior. The angel of the Lord said, and pick up your pen and write, that Joshua was a type of the end time leader, and Caleb represented the believer who stayed with Joshua the word. Now, if the angel of the Lord said that Joshua was a type of the end time leader, the Lord just kind of showed me something there that I looked at, and I want to just share this with you tonight. When we look at Joshua, he had his first three battles. And in those first three battles, as I looked at them, they compare very well with Brother Branham's three pulls. The first battle that Joshua had was he went into Jericho, and the supernatural caused the walls of Jericho to come down, right? It was a supernatural God that caused those walls to come down. And in Brother Branham's ministry, it was, amen, the denominational walls that came down because of a gift of healing.
Amen.
Oh, my God. What a perfect type.
Amen.
In Joshua's second battle, or if I can use the word his second pull, amen, they went into Ai, and they began to lose some men because sin was in the camp. So in order for them to understand what happened in Ai and why did they lose men, because they were not supposed to, in order for them to understand, God gave the spirit of discernment.
Amen.
God gave discernment in the camp of Israel so they could figure out that Achan had the sin in his camp.
Amen.
Brother Branham, second pull, discernment.
Amen.
And I love the third pull. Joshua's third battle was at Gibeon. And look at this. In Joshua's third pull, the world experienced something that had never happened before. And it will never happen again, according to Joshua 10:14. Joshua spoke, "Sun, stand thou still over Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon." That was the spoken word.
Amen.
In Brother Branham's third pull, the world experienced something that had never happened before and something that will never happen again. What was it? It was the revealing or the opening of the seven seals.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And if I can use it, it was the opening of the word. Joshua had the spoken word. Brother Branham had the opening of the word, which was also the spoken word.
Amen. Right.
His ministry was a perfect, perfect tie-in to Joshua's. Church, I'm glad that we can see these things and we can rejoice around it. We're not just following something just to be following something. But this is all a part of Scripture.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, if you just take time to look at it. Now, my title tonight is Who Will Take the Book? And for me to use a title that nature, you know that I have to hit Revelation 5. You know, Brother Branham said that, amen, that when we read Revelation 5, he says that was the most sublime thing in Scripture. Everything that happened there in Revelation 5. Let's just go and just read it, just a few verses of it, and we'll come back to Joshua 15. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Revelation 5. This is the most sublime, amen, act in Scripture. It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. Look at this. In verse 1, the scripture says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" This was a hopeless situation that John was looking at. And the Bible says, "No man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." This was a very, very bad situation. And it calls John in verse 4, says, "I wept much because no man was found worthy." I mean, you think of every great prophet, every great leader, every great king. No man was found worthy to take this book, right? "And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon." This was really bad. But verse 5, "Amen, one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? "The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." It changed the whole scene when John got a glimpse of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Verse 6 says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth." Now, I want to let you know something. Amen. Brother Branham told us now the seven eyes are the seven messengers. But he said the seven horns are the seven church ages, which we're identified in one of those church ages, and our job is to protect that word. Amen. See, Caleb got to stay with Joshua, right? We got to protect that word. We got to protect those promises. We got to stand on those promises. Look, he says, "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Amen. Thank God that the scene changed because Jesus was able to take this book.
Amen.
Jesus was the only one worthy that could take this book and loose the seals thereof. We thank God. Jesus is the one that died for us. When we were hopeless, when we were helpless, he's the one that changed the situation for us. Oh my, let's always keep in mind what Christ has done. Never forget it. The cross, amen, we should be able to preach that every Sunday. And it should be able to bring tears to everybody's eyes when we think about what Christ did at the cross.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Who will take the book? Only Christ could take that book.
Right.
Now, Brother Branham said we got to see Christ in every scripture.
Amen.
Let's go back now to Joshua 15.
Yep.
Thank you, Jesus. Verse 13, we want to see Christ.
Amen.
We want to see Christ. Oh, glory to God. Who is worthy to take the book? Only Christ. Who will take the book? Christ was the only one that could take it. Look at this in Joshua 15, verse 13 again. "Unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron." My God. Now, when I looked up the word, it actually was called Kirjath Arba, right? The city of Arba was called Kirjath Arba, also known as Hebron. What the Kirjath Arba meant was city of four. And what I found in the book of Genesis that there were four believers that were buried at Kirjath Arba. In the book of Genesis, there were four that were buried there. Abraham was buried there. Isaac was buried there. Sarah was buried there. Jacob was buried there. Now, Brother Branham said that they had a revelation of where to be buried because the resurrection was taking place in that same area. They took Joseph's bones, amen, in Exodus, and they put them in the same place. That's why when Caleb said, "Give me this mountain," He was very specific about having that mountain. The resurrection, not only for Caleb, but even for his offspring. They would all be buried at that mountain, placing them in the resurrection.
Amen.
Mm. My God, my God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I mean, the mountain that I want to stand on is this word in this hour. This revealed word. Glory to God, because rapture and faith, where is it found? In the books and the tapes. Hallelujah. And verse 14 says, and Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. Very important. The name of Debir before was Kirjath-Sefer. Now, why would the scripture record that? Because when I looked up the definition for Kirjath-Sefer, names have meanings. Right? Amen. That's why Brother Branham said, don't call your son Ricky. Right? I mean, you know, don't give him those type of names because a certain spirit comes on him with that type of name. Right? So, but names have meanings. And Kirjath-Sefer had a meaning. Kirjath-Sefer meant city of the book. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
City of the book. Now, I want you to notice this. Amen. And Caleb in verse 16 says, Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksa, my daughter, to wife.
Right?
Right? Who can take the book?
Oh,
right? Who will take the book? Right? And we're looking at something here. Amen. Othniel, verse 17 tells us, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb. All right? This meant that Othniel was Caleb's nephew. Whew. Now, if Othniel, Caleb's nephew, takes Kirjath-Sefer, city of the book, then he's going to get Aksa, his cousin, to wife.
Right.
Now, we know nowadays we don't want cousins marrying cousins. That's not right. But God put this in the scripture for a reason. Why was it Othniel? Why was it him that stepped up and said, I will take Kirjath-Sefer. I will take the city of the book. The reason it had to be Othniel is because the same reason it had to be Christ. Take the book in Revelation 5. It took a kinsman redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
We see Christ all in the scripture.
Amen.
Othniel was kinsman to Aksa. Right? It took a kinsman redeemer. Way back then in this story, God was kind of demonstrating something about himself.
Amen.
That we would see act out later on in scripture.
Right.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it. And it gave him Aksa, his daughter, the wife. Let me just read something before we go a little further in that. There's so much now. You know, I told you names have meanings. The city that they took, that had a meaning. Brother Branham made a comment here. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. He says, but then another great commission Joshua had was to divide the land with the people. Now remember, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. They had God's word, as I was with Moses, moving right on out. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll not fail you. But look at this. He says, you may fail me, but I won't fail you.
Amen.
I like that. You may fail me, but I won't fail you. And look at, he also says, but if you fail me, my grace is sufficient. I'll bear you right back up. Just keep moving on. As long as you're staying with my word, I'll take care of you. Thank you, Jesus. He goes on to say, now he had to divide the lands, and there were 12 tribes to divide it by. Now, what if he had some picks and pets? What if he liked the tribe of Gad better than he did the tribe of Ephraim, the tribe of Joseph better than he did Judah? But he didn't do it that way. He divided it according to the word reveal by the Spirit.
Amen.
He divided according to tribe. And notice he done it by the revelation, by discernment, by the discernment of God's Spirit. He did it. Now, when we even read there in Joshua 15:13, notice It says unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he gave the part of the children of Judah. This is the inheritance of Judah. And notice Revelation 5, it was the lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen. The city of the book, Kirjath-Sefer, tying right back into Revelation 5, Christ taking the book out of the one that sat on the throne. Perfect types. Right? Perfect types. Let's go on and look at some more things here. Axa. I looked at her name. I got a couple things I want to say about her, because Othniel received Axa for wife. Now, Othniel being a kinsman, which Christ was a kinsman to us, only Christ could redeem us. Look at this. It says, Axa, her name meant two things. It meant adorned, all right? And if her name meant adorned, I felt that she was a perfect type of the bride. Revelation 19:7 says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That means his wife, which is us, we are adorned.
Amen.
Adorned with what? The word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Ooh, we're dressed in this word, church. We're ready to meet Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Another thing, Axa, her name had another meaning, says it meant the bursting of the veil. Right? And in other words, we can say the breaking of the seal. The bursting of the veil. All right? And now, the name Kirjath-Sefer meant the city of the book. Caleb promised that whoever would take Kirjath-Sefer would receive Axa. If we were to apply this to today, by Christ taking the book and opening the seals, he has received his bride.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't just make that up. Brother Branham said it.
Amen.
And I'm going to read it for you.
Amen.
The breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, the prophet said, the seals was broke.
Right.
Why? In the last church age, to reveal these truths. My, why? The Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom.
Amen.
Can I just tell you, you know, when we're talking about a husband and a wife or a bride and a bridegroom, there are certain messages that a bridegroom can write to his bride. And she's going to be the only one to understand what he's writing to her. Everybody else will be lost. Everybody else will say it doesn't mean that. They'll be trying to decode it, have no idea what it means. But that bride, she has a smile on her face because she knows exactly what it means to her. So whoever don't want to receive it, it's a message for me. It's a message for me, and you got to feel that way about it. It's for me. Brother Billy Paul tells the testimony all the time. I think about going to the hospital room, and these two guys sit in the hospital room, and one guy share a book with the other guy. Says, you know, hey, what you think about that book? Man, I don't want to see that book ever again. Why? Because in that book, that man called me a chicken. Well, ain't that kind of funny? Because in the same book, he called me an eagle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Maybe it wasn't for the chicken.
Right.
But it is for the eagle.
Amen.
Oh,
amen.
My God.
Amen.
Look at what the prophet says. He says, the Lamb broke the seals and revealed them to his church in order to collect his subjects for his kingdom, his bride. See, oh my, he wants to bring his subjects to him. Now, what is it? Out of the dust of the earth, out of the bottom of the sea, out of the pits, out of everywhere and every place, out of the regions of the dark, out of paradise, wherever they may be, he will call and they will answer.
Amen.
Amen, amen. He will call and they'll answer. He'll come to get his subjects. He revealed his secrets and they saw it. And time is no more at that time. Time has run out. It is finished. All right. I'm just so happy about these things. Axa, her name meant adorn. Her name meant bursting of the veil. And if we would apply that today, it would mean the breaking of the seal. And when Othniel went and possessed Kirjath-Sefer, he was able to receive Axa, right? Brother Branham, amen, typed this to Christ, going and taking the book out of him that sat on the throne, and only Christ could do it. And when he did it, he revealed, amen, these secrets to his subjects, and it was calling his bride.
Amen.
Oh, you want to know why you're sitting here tonight?
Amen.
Because you were called to be bride.
Amen.
Brother Branham say, I call you bride.
Amen.
I call you bride. Not, you know, when I leave here tonight, and Brother Randall made the comments that I leave here tonight, and, you know, I get in the car and I go back to my hotel room, and I'm only one woman is able to ride in that front seat with me and go back to my hotel room.
Amen.
That's my wife.
Amen.
Anybody else that go, it's not appropriate.
Amen.
But my wife can go wherever I go.
Amen.
Ooh, Jesus. Oh, what precious place we sit.
Amen.
As the bride of Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Let's go on and talk a little bit more about Othniel. Now, Othniel received Aksa. And Othniel was a perfect type of Christ because he's the one that stepped forward to take the city of the book. And you know, now after Christ took this book, all right, he did his kinsman redeemer work, but after that, he became a judge, right? That's what Brother Branham tells. He became a judge, and if you read the scripture, you'll find out that Othniel, the guy that took Kirjath-Sefer, he also became the first judge of Israel in Judges chapter 3. Perfect time. God just don't put things in scripture just to put them in scripture. No, they're not just stories. We're talking about redemption.
Amen.
Look at this. Brother Branham says, Daniel, in the breach between the seven churches, and says, Daniel said the judgment was set and the books were opened in 10,000 times, 10,000 thousands ministered to him, king and queen. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's for the church. And the king and queen, I mean the queen and the king stood there. He goes on to, I just got ahead of myself, I'm sorry. He goes on to say this, let me read the scripture. Let's go back to Joshua 15, start at verse 18. Look at this. Now, Othniel's already received Aksa as his wife because he took the city of the book, which is a perfect type of Christ, taking the book out of him that sat on the throne. And he received us, his bride. Verse 18 here says, and it came to pass as she came unto him. Now here Aksa's coming, you know, to her husband. And it says, you know, she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her animal, right? It says, Caleb, and she lighted, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Right? Oh my God. Who answered, give me a blessing. This is what I, give me a blessing, right? For thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I mean, you know, we shouldn't have to work so hard at everything. Right. Brother Brandon talked about those springs. He went to that one spring and you see, he always found it just bubbling. No matter what time of year he went to it, it was just constantly bubbling. And he say, you know, he say, if I could just talk to the spring, I'd say, you know, do you bubble because I'm here to drink from you? The spring say, no, it's not because of you.
All right.
Well, do you bubble because the deer come and they drink from you? No, it's not because of the deer that they come and drink either. Well, what's the purpose? Why do you bubble in the springtime? And why do you bubble in the wintertime? And why do you bubble in the fall? And why do you bubble in the summer? Why do you bubble all the time? It's because we kind of got something on the inside.
Amen.
That makes me bubble.
Amen.
Do you have something on the inside?
Amen.
That makes you have joy.
Amen.
That makes you have peace.
Amen.
In the midst of all this chaos that we live in, do you have something on the inside?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you don't have it, you can have it tonight.
Amen.
I like this. She answered, verse 19 says, who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land, give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. Now that means she's got the upper springs and the lower springs. Now what are the upper springs? Aksa requested the upper springs. The upper springs represent the blessings that come from above. We ask for revelation because the church lives off revelation. The prophet said, with true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. We must have true revelation. And look, I'm not depending on my pastor's revelation. I'm not depending on my brother's revelation or my sister's revelation. I'm depending on my own personal revelation of who Christ is. Not just who Christ was, but who Christ is. We ask for revelation. Those are blessings that flow from the upper springs. I'm not making it up. Let's see what the prophet said. The breach between the seven church ages and the seven seals, Brother Branham says, but it's a book, a mysterious book. It's a book of redemption. We'll get into that in a little while. And now we know that this book of redemption will not be thoroughly understood. It's probed at through six church ages. But at the end, when the seventh angel begins to sound his mystery, he winds up all the loose ends that these fellows probed at, and the mysteries, the prophet says, comes down. Those are blessings in the upper springs. The mysteries comes down from God as the word of God and reveals the entire revelation of God. Then the Godhead and everything else is settled. All the mysteries, serpent seed, and whatever more is to be revealed. We thank God for the revelations that have come through the message of the hour. Otherwise, we'd be stumbling around in darkness. We'd still be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Right? I mean, there's a lot of things that we have three gods rather than one God. We have all kind of things that we'd be just confused in. I see people today, and you know, when they even start talking about the Trinity, they don't even believe it themselves.
That's right.
They don't believe it. Preachers that get out and preach it, they don't even believe it themselves. They're totally confused at it. I was somewhere a few weeks ago, and you know, and this guy started getting them there talking about the Trinity, and his comment was something like, you need to know the Trinity, because if you don't know it, you're missing everything. Something. He made some comment like that, and he said, if you really need to know it, we have an ordained pastor in the back that can share it with you. So, well, why is it that he can't share it? Why does he have to depend on the ordained pastor to share the revelation of the Trinity? Why do you have to actually go to school to get a revelation of the Trinity? Right? This makes no sense. Right? So, I mean, we thank God that God sent us a prophet to set us free from these things, church. We don't have to worry about that. We can just walk right up, just stay with what the prophet said. We'll be okay. That was blessings, the revelations that come down from God, the mysteries that come down from God. That's the blessings in the upper springs. But what about these blessings in the nether springs, the lower springs? Because she asked for both of them. And we need to ask for both of them too. The nether springs, the lower springs, these are the blessings that we need while we're down here on earth. And the prophet told us to ask God for big things. And the message, hear ye him, look at this. He says, don't never be afraid to ask big things. God wants you to ask big things. He don't want you to be a little petty and juvenile. He wants you to ask big things that your joys may be full. Could you imagine a little fish about that big way out yonder in the Atlantic Ocean say, I better drink just a little bit of this water. I might run out. Right. Nonsense. Could you imagine a little mouse about that big down there in the great gardens of Egypt saying, I just better eat 2 grains a day because I might run out before summertime again. Well, that's nonsense. If they had 100,000 rats that size, they'd never eat it up. And they had billions times billions of tons of them fish, they'd never drink the water up. And how many times could we multiply? You could never exhaust God in his powers and his mercies to his children. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Just drink and drink and drink and drink. Amen. I tell you what, if I'm battling something in my body, I'm going to expect God to bring healing to me. Amen. And if I have to, you know how we have to always fight with the devil. Yes. You give it to him, he try to give it back. You give it to him, he try to give it back. It's a constant battle. But I'd be holding on to every promise that God gave me.
Amen.
Every blessing that I need down here in these nether springs. Oh my. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to ask God for big things. The question is, who will take the book? Can I leave you with one scripture? Revelation 7. Othniel took the city of the book, Kirjath-Sefer. I'm sorry, Revelation 10. He took it. He was the kinsman redeemer, representing the kinsman redeemer, just as Christ took the book out of him that sat on the throne. And by taking it, he was able to reveal the secrets through his servant, the prophet, to call his subjects unto him. He received a wife. That's us.
Amen.
Revelation 10, verse 7. Let's start there. Very familiar scripture. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. These revelations, when we get them on mind, they're just so beautiful. But when we have to go out there and tell people what we believe, and we got all kind of questions, that's when the belly get bitter. But you just keep eating, church. Drink and drink and drink. Eat and eat and eat. You just keep doing it. No matter what you have to go through, just keep, stay with that word. Look, verse 10 says, and I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. I ask the question tonight. Who will take the book? I'll take the book.
Amen.
And I'll eat the book up.
Amen.
Now stay with this word.
Amen.
Just as Caleb stayed with Joshua. I'm going to stay with this word.
Amen.
I'll take the book.
Amen.
God richly bless you.
Amen.
Let's pray. God, we're challenged tonight, Lord, to just stay with what has been revealed. Certainly there are times that it becomes bitter in the belly. But God, we realize the sacrifice that was made to even get this to us. God, we won't trample on it. We'll receive it. We'll take it. We'll eat it. We'll stay with it. We'll digest it. We'll endure the tests. We'll endure the trials, the tribulations. We'll endure it. But God, we just pray that you would just help us, Lord, to be all that you've called us to be. We are a special people. In your eyes tonight, we're people that's been called by this word to believe it. Lord, you would send your prophet because you knew that there would be people here on this earth that would receive it. Only the bride could receive it. To others, Lord, it's confusion. But to us tonight, it is life. God, we're so grateful. Thank you that we can just comb through the scriptures and see Christ in his word. Thank you that you anointed our eyes to be able to see. We have prophetic insight. We thank you for it, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, if there's just one or tonight that may be going through something and just need you just to touch them, they need a blessing here in the nether springs. I pray, God, that your blessings would come upon them. There's one, Lord, that needs revelation to come, Father, from the upper springs. I pray that you would bring revelation to their hearts.
that they might not stand on what somebody else said, but they'll stand on what you reveal personally to them. God, that's what you told Peter. You said, flesh and blood hath not revealed these things to you, but my Father in heaven says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Your church was built on revelation. So help us to receive revelation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to worship him. I mean, I just love the Lord so much. He starts to show you things like this in the scripture, and I just don't know where else I could go to find some of these things. I couldn't find it in my Baptist church. I couldn't find it in the Pentecostal church that I attended. I couldn't find it, but this message just opened up, you know, the scripture. Brother Branham said when the seals opened, he said the Bible became a new Bible to him. See, and it's the same way for me now. So, just tying that together, it's not just a story anymore. Everything means something. It's a love story. It's a love story. Oh my. Thank you, Jesus. I know you know this song. When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. Help me sing it. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth. No one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, oh. And I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Oh, I'm coming back to the heart of. Oh, and it's all about you. Yes, it is. Hey, I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made. When it's all about. Yes, it is. Come on. I'm coming back to the heart of worship when it's all about you. Oh, yes, it is. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. Oh, yes, it is. It's all about Jesus. Say, it's all about you. It's all about you. Oh, say, I'm coming back. I'm coming back to the heart of worship.
for the thing I'm made in, it's all about you. Oh yes it is. Come on, say, I'm coming back. Heart of, oh, it's all about you. Yes it is. And I'm sorry, Lord. Oh, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. Church, when we think about the most sublime thing that happened in Scripture, that only Jesus could take that book. Only Jesus could redeem us. Only Jesus could bring us out of that pawn shop. Only Jesus. It's all about him tonight. It's all about him tonight. Let's keep him in sight. Everything we do, let's keep Jesus in sight. Amen. Let's just keep singing a little bit more of that. I'm coming back to the heart first. Oh, it's all about
should be to come to worship him. Amen. That's what it should all be about. It's not just about coming, and it's wonderful to come and get fed. It's wonderful to come and be seen and to sing and to hear the songs and the talent and how God has blessed his bride with different gifts, but it should be all about him. Everything should be about him. The opening of the book, God sending a prophet. It wasn't just about you. It wasn't just about Brother Branham. It was all about him. It was come to reveal that it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. A prophet had to come to reveal that because we had lost sight of it. We had lost sight that it was about Jesus. Sadly, many today, they put it back on a doctrine. They put it all the emphasis on the prophet. That's wonderful. We thank God for sending a prophet. I thank God for Eliezer. But he came to point us to Jesus Christ and the revelation of who he really was. We didn't even know who Jesus was out in the denominations. We thought he was the third person of the Trinity, or we thought he was one like our finger, or whatever you thought. But as Brother Billy said, we didn't even know how to cross the fence until a prophet came and told us. We didn't know. We were so confused. But God in his grace sent a prophet to reveal us who he really was. And to reveal not only that, but to reveal that your name was on the book that he came to restore. The book of redemption. Your name was on there. If it wasn't on there, why are you sitting here tonight? What is that something that drew you to this message? If your name wasn't there on that book, your theophany over there was calling you and pulling you, saying, I'm over here waiting for you. I'm over here waiting for you to step into me. What is it? Your theophany, eternal body created in the heavens. If you got one over there, you were able to recognize that this was eagle's food that God sent in our day to restore us back to who he really was. Oh, and let's not lose sight of what it's about, friends. It's all about you. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you. Everything that we do, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear the truth. Your prophet said that this church was built on the divine revelation of who you were, Father. Thank you for sending a prophet in our day to see that. To recognize who you were, to see not only a God of history, but to see who you were down through every age so that we could recognize you in our age and recognize the way that you move and the way that you speak and the way that you work, Father. You still work, Lord, even in this age. You worked through a prophet. You worked through ministry. You worked through the written word. You worked through the revealed word. You worked through the 9 spiritual gifts, Father. You've always done it that way. You don't change. We thank you for eyes to see it, Father, for ears to hear it, for a heart to believe it, Father. How thankful we are tonight, Lord, for where you brought us from. We love you, Jesus. And let's just worship him a little while tonight. Oh, Papa God, Lord, you saved me from my old life. Let's just worship him a little bit together. ashamed of it tonight. Let's raise our hands and sing it. Can't you see? I'm proud to be identified with that message of Malachi 4. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet. Let's sing it together again with all our hearts. Just sing it as we go. I'm so happy.